11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Welcome along to the League Podcast. We're back for another look at the Championship's featured matches, according to Pete Farris, who's on the line with me now. You are, Pete? Yes. Hello? Peter? Are you well?
I am well, thank you very much.
Just, what were you doing in that like 2 seconds of dead air?
I was pushing a tiny cat off my knee.
Okay.
Because she was trying to scratch at my face while I was trying to record this.
Fantastic. Nottingham Forest versus Reading is our first game. We look at the Championship games, we look at League 1, League 2, we get both teams to score a double and a nap each. And this is the first of them. 21-20 for Forest to win at home on Friday night. 5-2 the price for the draw, and Reading are also priced up at 5-2. Nottingham Forest are fifth, Reading are eighth, 2 points separating the two sides, and fairly similar form over the last six matches, a couple of defeats, a couple of draws, a win here and there. Is it all about home and away form here, Pete? Because, I mean, it's hard to separate these two really on recent form, isn't it?
It is hard to separate the two of them on recent form. You look at, as you say, Forest, and you've got, what, 1 win in 5, you've got Reading 1 win in 5. Reading, you know, are a point better off in their general form, but as a punter, do you really want to take that jump on a 1 point better form? I think it's difficult to do that, isn't it? Look at the home and away form. It's similar again, though, Lee. You can't really separate the two. I'm a big home versus away form player. It's probably arguably the best way I frame outright bets. And, you know, Forest 3 wins from 5. Blackpool have lost. Sorry, they lost to Blackpool, and then they beat Derby in that mix as well. But, of course, that Derby game was that local Derby that was mad, wasn't it, with the red card and so on. So you look at Reading, you know, they've drawn away at Barnsley, they've drawn away at Blackburn, they've lost at Sheffield Wednesday, they've lost at Burnley, fair enough, and they beat Derby. The other thing to say is that Forest dominated Burnley the other day. They were by far the better of the two teams. I mean, Billy Davies came out afterwards and said it was a travesty they hadn't won that game. And, you know, I feel for him. They have had a big loss in the week, a big, big loss. Eric Lehigh went off injured at half-time. We'll see about him, but the main one is Chris Cohen. Chris Cohen, for me, has been one of the most underrated Championship midfielders for a couple of years now, and he's going to be out for the rest of the season. He's had a recurrence of a problem with his knee that he had a while back, so he's in real, real trouble with that one. But you look at Reading and you say, well, you know, Nigel Atkins after that game against Blackburn the other day was, you could say, making excuses. He was unhappy with the referee. Look at the incidents. It's kind of a mix. I can understand some unhappiness. I think some of it's incorrect. And you look at how Nigel Atkins at the moment is going about it, and there feels to be a bit of a lack of confidence within Reading at the moment. So I'm actually going to happily take Nottingham Forest to win this match. I think they win the game. I think that they are still a side that you've got to be very, very scared of in terms of promotion. You know, and also looking down the barrel of their price, Lee. I mean, you were talking about Nottingham Forest's price a moment ago. It's odds against. Now, it's odds against because they're playing a good side. But at the same time, Reading, when you actually dissect who they've been away to, again, Barnsley, drawn. Lost at Burnley, okay, fair enough. Drawn at Blackburn, lost at Sheffield Wednesday. And yeah, okay, some sides who aren't great have been to Forest, but at the same time, Blackpool are decent and have won. Burnley have drawn. Yeah, Bournemouth, they'd have liked 3 points, I think, Nottingham Forest, but a win over Derby, who are decent. And you know, a 2-2 draw with what is still an underachieving, but a side full of good players in Middlesbrough. So all of that put together, it's who they've played, which has pushed me towards Nottingham Forest at 21-20, Healy.
Let's have a look at the TV game on Saturday. It's a 12:15 start, and it's Bournemouth taking on Brighton, 8-5. Bournemouth, 11-5 the draw, 6-4 the price for Brighton. It's the 5th of October, the last time that Bournemouth won, and they failed to score in the last two home defeats to Bolton and Derby. Brighton unbeaten in 5. Don't concede many away from home, Pete. Whatever the result, they've conceded 5 in 8 on the travels, and 4 of those goals came in 2 matches. So, you know, if Bournemouth aren't scoring and Brighton aren't conceding, 6-4 might seem quite tasty to some.
And to me as well, it does very tasty indeed. If you actually look at who Bournemouth have beaten as well at home in their most recent run, Barnsley and Millwall. Not great sides. Mm. Other than that, everyone else who's gone there has won. Admittedly, they've had some tricky games. You know, you've got a Derby side who are beginning to really look like a top-draw revolution under Steve McLaren. You've got Bolton, who are amongst the form sides in this division. 3-1 loss to Blackburn is not great. But the only teams that have beaten Barnsley, Millwall, in fact, they've won four times at home. And you throw Charlton in there, who I'm not a big fan of at all. And, you know, OK, a decent win against Wigan. But still, the point remains, the teams they've beaten at home aren't great. And, you know, I went against Brighton last weekend. My nap, of course, was Wigan it, even money in it, and it didn't come off for me. It was a 72nd minute Andrew Croft goal, and I've got to say that I was at the proactive that time, and yeah, I almost swore directly on air because I was just that angry. Because we get it comes through my cans. Basically, I tell the presenter who I've backed as my nap that week. I mean, you think I'm getting it from you and the listeners on Twitter? You see what I'm getting from him, and basically he just started laughing in my ear. And obviously I can't say anything because I'm commentating. And he just went, you know Andrew Croft? And he didn't need to say anything else. But anyway, look, the fact is that Brighton are playing well, like you say, not conceding away, well, barely conceding away from home. Okay, they weren't scoring away from home for a fair while either, but the point is they are starting to look much, much better. And they're a better team than the quality that Bournemouth have managed to beat this season. Again, very simple for me, this one, Lee. If I'm looking at it in the same way as Luke Forest, the fact is Bournemouth have only beaten bad teams and then that one-off game against Wigan at home, whereas, you know, Brighton have beaten teams and drawn with teams much better than Bournemouth. So for me, Brighton again, 6-4, very good bet.
Middlesbrough versus Bolton next, 6-5 Middlesbrough, 12-5 the draw, 15-8 the price for Bolton. This is 19th versus 15th. The stats show that it's only one win in the last five for Middlesbrough, or 6 unbeaten at home with a 4-1 win over Yeovil, 4-0 win over Donny Rovers, and a 2-2 draw with Watford. Not so bad, eh? But then Bolton unbeaten in 8 now, Pete, turning draws into wins as well. That 15-8 will get a lot of people hovering over the add to bet slip button.
Yeah, and again, understandably so. We still don't know what to expect from Aitor Karanka's Middlesbrough, do we? I think you look at them and you say, well, they've got all the there is talent. There is enough talent in there to be a top 7. Top 8 side in this league. There's no argument. There's enough quality in that side to be there. It's just the whole situation, the whole club has just gone a bit stale. And they went stale a couple of years ago and they've had little bursts, but they've struggled to get out of it. And of course, the January to end of season form last year just crushed anything, any revolution, any kind of momentum the club had. Not necessarily the players on the pitch, but the club had going forward. Middlesbrough 6-5. Despite the fact they've only lost once at home in the league this season, and that, of course, was their opening home game of the year, wasn't it, against Leicester, a game in which, as we saw from Borough a great deal this season, they took the lead in and didn't win. So the question is, how do you back Borough, who you don't know what to expect from the manager yet, against one of the league's form sides? And Bolton are one of the league's form sides. Remember me saying to you a while ago, Lee, Bolton will be there or thereabouts at the end of the season, and this is when they were playing dreadfully. Mm. Because it was just clear there was just one or two little things just here and there, and if they sorted those out, they were going to just start flying. And they have started to fly, haven't they? Three back-to-back away wins. You look at their home form and unbeaten in, what, five? But it's such a hard game to call, isn't it? Because you look at it and you say, well, Borough are barely beaten at home. Bolton are one of the form sides playing at Borough and playing very, very well indeed. If Bolton went off in this game at 6-5, then I'd kind of go, I can't really play that. But they're 15-8, and to get them draw no bet at 6-4 is absolutely fantastic. You can't be with Borough. You absolutely can't. And the thing that worries me in this game is the draw. That worries me in this game, the draw. So why not have Bolton at 6-4? A draw no bet. It means you get your money back and you get that little boost in value. If you're not a draw no bet player, you're a double chance player, then Bolton plus a goal is 7-10. Still eminently backable. Bolton losing this game doesn't massively come into my thinking here. What does come into my thinking is the draw, and therefore you need to play, I think, if you are playing Bolton, some kind of insurance bet in that, you know, you push the goals, you draw no bets. Of course, don't forget, if you are putting together an ACCA insurance bet, which with William Hill is, you know, six bets or more pre-match outrights, and you get one, you get your money back if only one fails you, then you can't do that with drawn-up bets and your plus of goals for an ACCA. But certainly for a single, these are very, very good ways in. I really do like them. And the other one as well, if he's fully fit, then Jermaine Beckford anytime, 6-4, three back-to-back games, three back-to-back goals for Jermaine Beckford.
Let's have a look at the next one, which is Leicester versus Millwall. Leicester are priced up at 8-15, 11-4 the draw, Millwall 9-2. This is second in the table, at home to 18th. A lot of points separating these two sides as well, 18 points between the two of them. Millwall, that victory against Barnsley was their first win since mid-September. Their away form isn't too clever either. They're particularly porous on the road. 19 goals conceded in 8 games on the travels, and they've only scored 8. As for Leicester, well, that defeat to Nottingham Forest at home, which came out of the blue, really, was their first defeat at home this season. And, I mean, they love a 2-1, Pete, don't they? They generally score two or more goals at home, don't they? I think only the Leeds game, the first home game of the season, and the Nottingham Forest game, where they drew a blank in both, are the only two where they haven't notched up two goals. Is it one of those where they simply outscore Millwall here?
It certainly looks like that kind of game, yeah. I mean, like you say, the record of them hitting two is actually part of where I'm going with my bet in this game. And, you know, the other thing I'd say is they haven't played at home. It's quite funny when you look at who they've played at home, okay? Leeds, first game of the season. Now, Leeds are having a great run of form, and it's top six now, but at the time, you know, no one was quite sure what to expect of Leeds, and they didn't start particularly well. Birmingham, we know, are dreadful on the road. Wigan, okay, good result, but aren't great on the road themselves. Then Blackburn, Barnsley, Huddersfield and Bournemouth. So those are all poor teams. So every time a poor team has gone to Leicester, they have been beaten by Leicester. And the last team to go to Leicester, of course, was Nottingham Forest. Not a poor team. And they won. Nottingham Forest. You look at Millwall, and on the road, the only team they've beaten this season is Charlton. They've drawn with Sheffield Wednesday, drawn with, I think, Brighton as well. But other than that, they've been getting beaten, and they've been conceding goals. 4 against Birmingham, 5 against Bournemouth. 3 against Bolton. If you can't tell, I'm trying to fight a sneeze here.
Do it.
No, I defeated it. Too powerful. But this is the thing. Leicester, you can't ignore Leicester in this game. You have to play them, and you have to play for me the race to 2 at 3-4. It looks really, really good, because if they're going to win, history shows they're going to score twice. They're going to win that race to 2 if they're going to win. You know, they didn't win against Leeds, but drew 0-0. But they beat Birmingham, won the race to 2. They beat Wigan, won the race to 2. You know, beat Blackburn, beat Barnsley, beat Huddersfield, beat Bournemouth, won the race to 2 in all those games. Didn't win it against Forest and lost 2-0. And you look at how Millwall have played. I mean, they did hit 2 against Bournemouth and, of course, won that race to 2 before losing 5-2. But the point remains, Leicester are still scoring goals. They're looking good. And I can understand entirely why someone would go to, say, the ever-popular, the ever-growing market on William Hill's website of match result and both teams to score. Leicester and both teams to score 11-5. I think it's perfectly good. I think it's a great-looking bet. Again, if you look at how they've won these games, both teams to score, you know, landed against everyone except, I think, Wigan when they've won. But you can't play Millwall. 8-15 is nice for Leicester, actually, in the scheme of an outright. But 3-4, race to 2, Leicester will do me nicely.
Very good. Barnsley next against Birmingham. Barnsley are priced up at 6-4. It's 11-5 the price for the draw, and 8-5 for Birmingham. We'll go and pick out a result in this one. The away form pretty much matches the home form. Not many wins in the last 5 games. I suppose Birmingham have lost more. Then they go to Huddersfield and win 3-1. Barnsley drawing their last home game against Doncaster Rovers, 1-1 with Sheffield Wednesday before that. Then they had the 3-2 win over Middlesbrough. Before that, Pete, where are you going with this one?
Barnsley and both teams to score at 15-4. I don't agree 100% with what you said about the away form matching the home form. I mean, Barnsley have only lost one of the last 5.
Yeah, true.
And that was to Watford. And actually, when you look at it, it's a strange fact, this, but Barnsley have only lost twice at home this season. You know, it's their away form that is making them dreadful, and the fact that they're not really winning. I mean, they're drawing a heck of a lot at home against sides, but they're not losing games. They've only lost twice at Oakwell. They got battered by Watford, they got battered by Wigan. So if they're going to lose at home, the likelihood is they're going to get battered. But do I want to put money on Birmingham being the team to batter them? No, certainly not away from home. I mean, admittedly, they hit 3 past Huddersfield the other day, and that is an impressive goal haul. But, you know, if I'm backing Barnsley to lose at home at the moment, I'm backing the team to batter them, because that's how it's gone. And you can't, I don't think, go against Barnsley here. I think 15-4 Barnsley and both teams to score is fantastic. They beat Borough with both teams to score, of course. Beat Huddersfield with both teams to score. Both teams to score. There was 4 goals in the 2-2 draw against Charlton, a 1-1, a 1-1, and admittedly last time out, a 0-0 against Doncaster Rovers. But it's very hard, I think, to go with Birmingham here. When I first saw, I actually didn't realise the home start of Barnsley until I actually went deeper into this game. Now, there might be a bit of a problem for them in that Chris O'Grady might not be fully fit for this match, and he's a big player, an important player. And when you think about how Barnsley lost out last time, it was an own goal, wasn't it? It was an own goal from Wiseman that meant Millwall won the game 1-0. So the fact of the matter is that they are battling. They're just not quite getting over the line, but I can't go with Birmingham. So in the end, I'm actually going to play Barnsley and both teams to score. Birmingham's away form is not fantastic. It's not even remotely fantastic. I think both teams knocking this, and I've got to say Barnsley, for me, are going to have a little bit of an edge. At home, they are very hard to back against.
Let's have a look at the final game of the championship that we'll look at. That's Huddersfield versus Burnley. Huddersfield Town are in 13th position with 20 points, and Burnley still top of the tree on goal difference from Leicester. Seven goal better goal difference they have got than Leicester and QPR, who are also on 35 points. They've just started to draw a few games, Burnley, as the form drops off. In fact, they haven't won a game since the 26th of October. There was a defeat to West Ham in the Cup in the middle there. Drew 2-2 with Millwall away from home. Drew 1-1 with Bournemouth and 1-1 away at Nottingham Forest. Forest one not so bad, but the other two you could probably question. Huddersfield Town beat Sheffield Wednesday after two straight defeats. Before that, they'd beaten Leeds. Burnley draw a lot at the minute. Huddersfield don't draw a lot at the minute, Pete. Can Huddersfield contain Burnley here?
Well, I've been, Lee, the one thing that's probably been working for me recently is going against Burnley. If you remember back in the West Ham, after the West Ham game, I cited my old theory of socks up syndrome.
Yeah.
So and at the moment, they're certainly going through that, aren't they? As you say, plenty of draws back to back. I'll be very quick with this one because I think it's a very good bet. I think it's really simple to describe. Over 2.5 goals in this game is 11-10. I do think Huddersfield are in with a squeak in this game. I really do. But when you consider the last 5 Huddersfield home games, 2-1, a 1-1 against Blackpool, admittedly, 3 goals in the game against Watford, 5 in the game against Leeds, 4 in the game against Birmingham. And yeah, it hasn't landed with huge regularity for Burnley, only twice in the last 5 away. But Burnley, as is being said as well by the manager, they're going to go at this. They're going to throw everything at this game. And Huddersfield, they defensively can't stop them, I don't think. I mean, like I was saying, they've conceded, in the last 3 games, a total of 7 goals. They can't contain them, but there's always a goal in it for Huddersfield, isn't there? You look at home form so far this season, they've scored in all but one. You look at Burnley's away form so far this season, they've scored in all but one. So that's 2 goals. If that form goes straight away, that's 2 goals straight away that you've almost got for free, and you know that there's one more that you need in that regard. So looking at it, over 2.5 goals at 11-10 is fantastic. Now the counter-argument again, will Sean Dyche simply set up to just try and squeeze out a win? Possibly so. But at the same time, Mark Robins has got nothing to lose in this game. No one expects Huddersfield to register in this game. So he, and I think he said it publicly as well, he's not going to be scared of Burnley. They're going to go at it. For me, over 2.5 goals at 11-10 is an absolute beauty.
Very good. Should we get a best bet in League 1 and League 2, Peter?
Yeah, very quick this week, Lee.
Go.
Wolves, my favourite bet. 17-10 to beat Peterborough. Peterborough have lost 5 games in the bounce. And the Peterborough, top cheese, Darren McAntony, tweeted this week, sick of the players doing the talk and not walking the walk. They need to show who they are, or something along those lines.
Good.
And it's not, from the sounds of things, gone down very well. Not that it matters to Darren McAntony, of course, who is the owner. He can say what he wants.
Yeah.
But it's not gone down very well. Confidence is so low at Peterborough. If they were playing other teams in this league, I'd go, nah, I can't back them. But they're playing Wolves, who look good. 17-10.
And League 2?
Well, League 2 is an absolute nightmare, isn't it? 7 draws in the midweek games, you know, only 10 points between 1st and 14th. It's just, it's such a tricky league to get anything in. But the bet for me is Hartlepool United. Again, want to go with them. Landed last week. Portsmouth sacked manager Guy Whittingham, didn't they, the other day, and actually went on and did quite well in the week. And you've got to say, well, maybe it's the honeymoon period. Maybe Portsmouth are starting to turn a corner and they're going to start winning games. And then you go, well, no, because they turned a corner, but they still lost 2-1, didn't they? This is the thing.
Yeah.
They turned a corner and played really well, but they still lost 2-1. So okay, the honeymoon period lasted for 76 minutes, didn't it? I think they went in the lead early doors. It lasted 76 minutes. They lost the game 2-1. So the honeymoon period disappeared. For me, I've got to say, I think Hartlepool at odds against to beat Portsmouth at the weekend at home, 23-20, magic.
Very nice. Both teams have scored double this weekend, landed last weekend. I'm going for a game that is going to feature in my nap as well, which is Fleetwood versus Oxford. Fleetwood are fifth, Oxford first. 88% of Fleetwood's home games have featured both teams to score. 62% of Oxford's away games, both teams to score. So that's a cumulative both teams to score percentage of 75% of this fixture. 10 to 11. I like them stats. Middlesbrough versus Bolton, either one. 19th versus 15th, as we said earlier on. 87% of Borough's home games have featured both teams scoring. And 50% of Bolton's away from home. But I think Bolton, as Pete said earlier, are the better side, so expect them to score. But I think Borough can get one. 4 to 6 for that one. So the 10 to 11 and 4 to 6, add them together and you get a nice little 11 to 5 price, which was one of the bigger ones we get when we're pairing up these doubles. So Fleetwood, Oxford and Borough, Bolton. I drew a blank again last week, Pete.
I gave you sorry, I didn't hear any of that. I wouldn't bother repeating it.
I gave you another presenter to try and give you a hand.
Sorry, I didn't hear any of that either.
I did as well, though, so we both missed out. I can't remember what mine was. Oh, it was Gillingham, and they lost pretty helpfully lost as well. Where are you going this week, Pete? I'm, by the way, I'm thinking new house, new broom, new naps. Come on, Pete, let's have this.
Well, I am in a new house, you're absolutely right.
Yes. Is it nice?
Yeah, it's
did
all right.
Did the move go well?
The move went okay, yeah.
Good.
Annoying. Dropped some drawers on my foot at one point, that was funny. And at one point, one of the cats wouldn't get out of the way of the front door when I was holding what could be described as the world's heaviest mirror. And it wouldn't move. And I was just going, please, Daisy, just move. And I was sort of like,
is your cat called Daisy? That's my daughter's name.
It is Daisy and Daisy and Coco, which is ironically your other daughter's name, isn't it, Coco?
No. I have got a friend whose daughter's called Coco, though.
Yeah, Daisy and Coco. Daisy's the stupid one.
Same here.
She's stupid. Coco's the kind of the high maintenance kind of lady of the house. It's ridiculous.
I dislike cats.
Really? Like, I used to be very much a dog's man.
No, I don't like dogs.
Well, I love dogs, and I used to really dislike cats, but I've got to say, these two have turned me round. They have, I'm going to have to admit it. My hard, callous centre has been softened by the tiny cat faces.
I can see why people would like cats, because they're quite independent, and I think they've probably got a lot of personality, but just can't really be doing with them. I can't be doing with any animals, if I'm being honest. Do you know, I was in, you know, when you walk through shopping centres and you have like the charity people, there was a Dogs Trust stand a little while ago, and as you go past, they say something to you, and what they said was, hello, do you like dogs? And I just said no, which is honest, you know, I went no. And they had a go at me about it. What? I don't have to like
Speaking
dogs.
Of which, really quickly, a few weeks ago, I was walking through town, and because I donate to several charities.
I don't like to talk about it,
though. Yeah, I don't like to talk about it. But one of them, as I was walking through, one of them went, excuse me, sir, can I just give you a quick second to talk about, I don't know, we'll just say...
Red Cross.
Red Cross, yeah. And I went, oh, sorry, mate, I already donate. And he went, well, you can always give more. And I stopped, and I went, what? And he went, you can always give more, you know. And I went, you don't know how much I give. And he went, well, do you think you could give more? And I went, no, but right now I really want to give less. I went, are you being serious? And then I got into a massive argument with him. And my girlfriend was like, can we go? And I was like, are you being serious with me? And I got a massive go at him. And then his mate came over, and his mate was like, is everything all right? And I was like, and I explained the situation. His mate went, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry about that. And as we walked off, my girlfriend went, I can't believe you spoke to him like that. I was like, what? What have I done?
You got in trouble for it.
What have I done?
I love that. I can't believe you spoke to that poor charitable gentleman like that.
Well, listen, don't get me wrong, I understand. I don't mind people coming to me and saying, do you mind this? And I go, well, I'm sorry, I'm busy or whatever. But, I mean, if I tried to do a vox pop in the street, and someone went, I went, can I have your opinion on cheese? And they went, I don't like cheese. I go, you don't like cheese, you scumbag. Like, it'd be ridiculous.
Is it wrong, do you think? You know when you walk past the charity... Are they called chuggers? Is that what they're called?
I don't know.
Whatever they're called. When you walk past them and you say... And they say, would you like to donate to the Red Cross? And I say, I already give. When it's a complete lie. Is that wrong, you think?
Oh, yeah, you're an abominable... off, get it. You're horrible, man.
Terrible person. Nap. Let's go for the naps then, shall we?
Yeah, it's over 2.5 in the Huddersfield... Burnley game, Lee.
Yeah, like the stats
are with it.
See it.
And I'm just trying to do is make sure my naps aren't too narrow, like I have plenty of room for them to land.
Yes.
So if I played like Leicester race to 2 at 3 to 4 is my other favourite.
Mm.
But that's got too many things that could go wrong, whereas Huddersfield-Burnley could just have goals. Like, if one team wins 19-0 in the world's weirdest game, I've still landed. So that's kind of the stage I'm at now, the desperate generalisation stage.
Yeah, that's fine. What price was that again?
11-10.
11-10, yeah, it's nice that. I've gone for the same bet in that Fleetwood-Oxford match. I must admit I was pretty surprised when I saw the price. I was expecting it to be much shorter. The stats on this one: 77% of Fleetwood's home games have seen over 2.5 goals, and 62% of Oxford's away games have seen over 2.5 goals. And I was expecting that to be odds on. It's 21-20. I understand that
Oxford are a sort of a weird side. Yeah, Oxford are
they
quite
can get
tight.
A 0-0 draw. It's fifth versus first. It could be a game where they shut up shop and try and get away with a result, but
yeah.
I'm going to trust that it isn't, and that 2 points between these two sides, and I still think we're at a stage of the season where they can afford to have a go at this. As you said, it's so tight. Fleetwood get a win here, they could find themselves top of the table, so I think they'll go for it, and that'll leave some gaps for Oxford to try and counter them. So I like the price, 21-20 over 2.5 in that one, 11-10 for Pete's the double. Should you trust it? Is it tasty enough price to have a go on? I think Pete's
I think we know the answer to should you trust it.
Well, you shouldn't trust it. I think it's worth a go this week, personally.
Yeah.
I would, if I was listening.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.